Hello, this is Pastor Marv Nelson, and I'll be standing in for Pastor Rock this week as we continue our journey through 91 weeks with the Holy Spirit. As we look at this week's reading, let's continue to keep our eyes open for the work, foreshadowing, and echoes of the Spirit's work. To be completely honest, this week's reading made it really easy. This week, we'll continue reading in Acts and read through all of Galatians. My desire is to focus on two questions that I feel need to be answered by this week's reading. And those questions are these: who is the Holy Spirit for, and how do we walk by the Spirit? When you look at Acts 15, in particular verses 7 through 9, it shows us how ethnicity caused some division in the early church. There was some dispute about giving the message of Christ to the Gentiles. Peter reminded those gathered that from the beginning, he felt led by the Holy Spirit to minister to the Gentiles. And you can remember this story in vivid detail from Acts 10. The best argument in my mind that Peter gives in this gathering is this: God knows the heart, and he pursued the Gentiles, and he gave them the same Holy Spirit that we have. Peter's declaring, the Holy Spirit is for all who believe, despite their ethnic background. God considers the heart, not the outside of man. He then adds to his speech that God makes no distinction. If they are saved, they have access to the Spirit. There's no VIP section with special access to the Holy Spirit. He is given to all who believe in Jesus. In fact, the truth of the whole thing that God gives the story of the gospel is that he longs for us to ask for more of the Spirit. God desires for us to ask for more of himself. So we can see that we all have access to the Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we can forget this or neglect to remember it. Many of us may feel that the access to the Spirit is only for a few chosen people. But God declares repeatedly that all who believe have access to the Spirit of the living God. Sadly, sometimes we may purposely allow ourselves to neglect the Spirit so we can excuse our sin or continue to live in a sinful way. My friends, the same Spirit that led Christ, the same Spirit that orchestrated the early church, is in us who believe in him. Do not miss the opportunity to access that which Christ has promised to us. This then leads me to the next question of how do we walk in the Spirit? If we can see that we have access to the same Spirit, how do we, as Paul says, walk in the Spirit? That phrase seems like a very confusing turn of phrase. How do we walk in the Spirit? If this is the main ingredient to walking out the Christian faith, what does it even look like? The powerful statement of what Paul had said, "When you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh," is something I think we would all desire to be true for our lives. Many of us would love to shed the things that drag us down and cause us to be filled with shame at our inability to live the Christian faith. One of the main points that Paul is making in this statement is this: we believe ourselves to be powerful, but we're powerless. The opposite of this statement is exactly this: if you do not walk by the Spirit, you will satisfy the desires of the flesh. Paul, throughout every letter he wrote, always made these types of statements that needed to be read both ways. So we must come to the place where we admit we can't do it and admit that we need the Spirit. When I do house projects, I never try to do it alone anymore because I know I will always mess it up. I am not a house repairman. I will always ask my father-in-law, every time I need something done at the house, to come over and either consult with me or help me, because he knows what he's doing and I, for sure, have no idea what I'm doing. You could just ask me a couple questions later outside of this time of all the things that I've broken in my house. The same must be true in our walk with the Spirit, recognizing that we can't do it. We don't know where to go, so we must ask him for direction. We can't overcome our sins without him, and we must come to grips with that reality. Paul even had to wrestle with this himself. He talked about this in 2 Corinthians, where he discussed the thorn in his side. It was through this thorn that he came to grips with the fact that in his weakness, God is made strong. So when we admit we can't do it, God shows up in power. We allow God to be God, and we stop trying to be God on our own. The Spirit knows what's best and will empower us and use us best when we surrender to Him. Let me now illustrate this surrender and walking by the Spirit, what it looks like practically. My family always goes to the Outer Banks for vacation. My son MJ and I recently began to enjoy walking on the beach together. We discovered that Pokemon Go was in the Outer Banks. And when we were walking together last summer, MJ wanted to walk in my footprints. He loves me and has a desire to be somewhat like me. You could pray for him, because that's probably going to be an interesting thing when he gets older. This drove him to want to see if he could follow me stride for stride by placing his small foot into my print. Once I realized what he was doing, I began to make smaller strides because his short legs were struggling to keep in step with my steps. He then could walk with me and follow me step for step because I noticed what he was doing, his desire to follow me step for step, and so I helped make it more possible. The same is true for the Spirit and us. This is the image Paul was trying to create when he said, "Walk by the Spirit." We are to seek out where the footprints of the Spirit are and place our foot into His footprints. He won't walk too fast or with too far a stride. He will lead us, grow us from where we are to where we could be. It's His power giving us the ability to do this as well. We are not in this alone. We do not walk the Christian life in isolation. He is with us. He is empowering us. We must, however, to see His footprints, reject the path we were trying to forge for ourselves. The belief that we can do it on our own will blind us to the footprints of the Spirit. We must surrender our ways for His ways. And to do this, we must seek what His way is. We must spend time with Him. We must learn His voice and then choose to follow His lead. You and I cannot live the Christian life on our own. Plain and simple, everything we touch will get messed up. Spiritual self-sufficiency will always cause spiritual strife. Spiritual self-sufficiency ends in one of two ways: spiritual arrogance or spiritual shame. We may think we're doing well, and we're tricking ourselves, and we get arrogant about it. More likely, however, we will see our inability to walk this Christian faith out and live in shame and eventually walk away from this hard faith. The Galatians struggled with this self-sufficiency as well, and so Paul wrote this letter. God also had it written for us. He had me and you in mind when He had His Spirit use Paul to pen these words. So let me ask you a couple of tough questions. Are you and I willing to seek out the Spirit's footsteps and walk in them? Are we willing to recognize that we have access to the Spirit and His empowerment if we simply pursue Him and ask? I pray that we are, and I challenge you to be such a person who seeks out the footprints of the Spirit of God and chooses to walk in them.